News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
All righty, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. It is Friday. FM Talk 106.5 with Dan and Dalton. And we are just a few days away from Election Day, and the primary is coming up on Tuesday the 24th. We've got another gentleman in studio who is seeking office. Dalton, introduce our friend here.
Yeah, and no one knows better when the primaries will be than Judge John Williams, running for Mobile County District Judge. And John, thank you so much for coming in with us this morning.
Good morning. Thank y'all for having me.
Good to have you, John. First thing we've got to do is make sure everybody knows you're not that other John Williams.
I'm not that John.
How many times have you been asked that question?
A lot. A lot on the campaign trail. I tell people I'm not that John Williams, and I'm not the billionaire John Williams composer. So I'm the John Williams from Citronelle.
Exactly. So not the Councilman John Williams. John Williams from Citronelle. Tell us a little bit about you and whatever you'd like to for everyone to know.
Sure. Well, I'm obviously John Williams. I grew up in Citronelle. My mom owned the Iron Skillet restaurant there for about 30 years.
Really?
On the campaign trail, every time I mention the Iron Skillet, it resonates with people.
Absolutely.
You know?
That's cool.
And so I sort of grew up in the restaurant business. My dad had retired from the Air Force, and he was a mailman for 20 years. So when you work in the restaurant business, when you see your mom in the restaurant business, and it's a seven-day-a-week thing, you know what hard work is all about.
Sure. Mm.
It's funny, I go, the Iron Skillet's still there and thriving and doing well, and I walk in there today or whenever I want something, and it's like stepping back in time. Nothing's ever happened. I feel like I'm 10 years old again, you know. But I left Citronelle. I went to University of Alabama. I put myself through college. I'm very proud of that. I saw the hard work that my mom and dad, did every day, and I did not want any help. They would have helped me if I'd asked, but I'm proud of that I was able to do that. After college, I went to law school at Alabama. I'm very proud of that fact as well. I was a student body president at Alabama Law School. And then from there, I went to the DA's office in Montgomery County. I was an assistant DA there. I tried every sort of case that you could try, street crime in circuit court. I started in circuit court, which circuit court, we can talk about the differences, but that's the jury trial level. So I tried everything from burglaries to thefts to, kidnappings to, I've tried capital murder cases. Mm. There's a defendant on death row that I have prosecuted. So obviously those are tough cases to prosecute for everybody involved, especially the victim's family. And after 4 years there, my parents were getting older, so I thought it was time to come home. And I have run my, I had a private practice for 25 years now in Mobile, downtown. And I have been the city prosecutor for 16 years in Satsuma. And then for the last 6 years in Satsuma, I've been the city judge there. And I was the city prosecutor in Chickasaw for 4 years. And I have been the city judge in Citronelle for 25 years.
So as someone who also grew up with family in the restaurant business, I'm sure you worked about every job you could coming up there, from maintenance to the grill to whatever. Sounds similar in your in the courtroom, like you've worked about every job there is to work there.
I've done everything that you can possibly do in the courtroom. I've worn every hat you can wear, and when I'm elected district judge and retire in 20 years, maybe I can become the bailiff in the courtroom, and then I'll finish it all out.
John, talk about district court, what that position means as opposed to circuit court, so people just have an understanding of if you win, what you will then become.
Sure. Well, district court in a lot of ways, as I said, I've been the city judge in Citronelle for 25 years. District court in a lot of ways is similar to a municipal court. So the first court that and the only court that a lot of citizens ever see. If you're given a ticket by a state trooper or a county sheriff and you want to contest your ticket, that's where you would go, to district court. Same thing for city court, except the city police would give you the ticket. Mm-hmm. So that's where the similarities lie. What's different is that in district court, obviously the district court judge determines probable cause on felony cases before the case would go to the grand jury.
Right.
So, and of course, sets bonds when people are arrested. That's a big topic these days.
Right.
But for the preliminary hearing, the district judge would determine probable cause. The case would go to the grand jury. If the grand jury indicts, then it goes up to circuit court for trial. The district court also handles civil cases up to $20,000. So, you know, obviously the public talks about the criminal aspect of it a lot, which is obviously really, really important. But people don't talk about that the district judge handles civil cases as well. Mm-hmm. And I've, you know, in my law practice, I've handled plaintiff's cases, I've handled civil defense cases, I've done all of that. So I've got all of that experience.
How difficult do you find it to remain as impartial as possible when you're deciding a lot of these different cases? I'm sure emotionally, I mean, it weighs on you, I'm sure. But keeping an even hand on both sides of the case, talk about that a little bit.
Well, I think that, you know, experience matters a lot. You know, you don't become numb to it, but you have to go in there and you know, the judge is supposed to give everybody a fair shake, right? The judge is supposed to listen to both sides of the case and reach a decision that's just. And that's what I've tried to do for 25 years. You know, I don't come into a court with some preconceived notion of just because somebody's charged with something, that person's guilty. You can't do that. Hmm. And I, you know, I've often said that I've survived in Citronelle, I've survived 7 administrations. You know, that's hard to do, whether it's a small town or whether it's New York City, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, true.
You know, a new mayor and council, you know, oftentimes wants their own people. And where's some wood I can knock on? But I'm so grateful to Citronelle, and I'm so grateful to Satsuma because they've kept me for so long. So it must mean that I've, you know, I'm doing something right, and I'm giving everybody a fair shake. I've not had one police chief over the course of the time that I've been a judge that I know of complain about anything that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know that I'm fair, and they know if somebody's guilty, I'm tough too.
Also, so let me get this. I just want to get this straight. So your experience obviously is something that if you're going to try to hang your hat on anything, it'd be the fact that you've been a judge, correct?
That's true. I think that's why my signs say actual experience. I mean, I've been a judge for 25 years, and I've handled every kind of case you can in the courtroom. I think that's so important that I've been a prosecutor for 4 years. I've handled criminal defense cases. I've handled plaintiff cases and civil defense cases. That's everything that a district judge sees. So I just think that if the voters look at the qualifications of all of us, I don't think it's close in this case, and I'm not, you know, just being honest.
Yeah,
we're talking with John Williams, candidate for Mobile County District Court Judge, and I wanted to ask you a question. Refer to something you said earlier. So my aunt worked in the federal courthouse in Nashville for her whole career, basically, and she worked for a judge there. And it's kind of surprising, you know, outside of in the courtroom, judge is basically leading a team, right? You have a lot of it's a manager position, kind of, if I'm reading it correctly. You said you were the student body president while you were at law school there at Bama. Talk about how those skills, I know it was your college years or post-college years, but how that can kind of translate into leading a team like that.
Well, I think I really haven't thought about it in that aspect, but I think you have to learn. Part of that is leadership skills, obviously. If you're the student body president, you have the Senate, this law school Senate that you preside over. And I think, you know, you have to be a good leader, whether you're the student body president at Alabama or whether you're the district court judge or the municipal judge or the circuit judge. Now, I will say that I don't have much of a staff as a municipal judge. Mm. You know, I have a court clerks that do a great job for me in both municipalities. I'm not real sure about the staffing at district court and circuit court, but you're right. You just have to be a leader, and you have to lead the right way, and I think people follow you and do, you know, emulate what you do.
John, before we let you go, tell everybody why you want this position, why it's important to you to win this election and become the district judge.
Well, I just think that, you know, I think we were all taken a little bit off guard when Judge Hardesty announced his retirement. I had been thinking about doing this for quite a while, and then I had a lot of lawyers come to me and ask me to run. Lawyers that have practiced in my courtroom, and they know what kind of judge I am, and You know, prosecutors and defense lawyers alike know that they're going to get a fair shake with me. So I talked to people that I trust and people that and my family, and I made the decision to do it. I think we need good judges. I think we need judges that you know. You don't have to guess what you're getting with me. You know what you're getting with me. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that you don't use a district judge position or a circuit judge position as a starting point in your judge career.
John Williams, running for district court judge. I'm on your site right now, johnwilliamsforjudge.com. I know that's where folks can go to get some more information.
Oh, our internet's back.
No, I'm running off my phone right now. That's exactly right. But, yeah. John, any parting words you have here as we are now, let's see, it's Friday. We're all going to the polls on Tuesday. So let's call it 4 days until that time is here. You've been campaigning for a long time now and probably see the light at the end of the tunnel right now.
I do. And when you say we're all going to the polls, I hope that's true. I hope everybody will remember to go vote. I hope everybody will call their friends and family, and but people forget, you know, and remind people to go vote. It's really important. This is an important election cycle. And I'd really ask the voters to please evaluate all three of us and vote for whoever you think's the most qualified.
John, thanks for your time this morning. Thanks for dropping in.
Hey, thank you so much.
All right. John Williams, candidate for Mobile County District Court Judge. And a reminder, we've interviewed quite a few candidates leading into the primaries on Tuesday. If you want to go back and listen to any of them, maybe you tuned into this conversation midway through.
Good point.
You can head to our website, fmtalk1065.com, and pick up the podcast there or anywhere else you can get podcasts.
There you go. Learn about the candidates. It's what you should do, and you should vote. I think most of our audience will do just that on Tuesday. 19 minutes after 8 o'clock, FM Talk 1065 with Dan and Dalton. Hey, y'all. Good morning. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. Kane with traffic. Leanna on Facebook.
And other social media sites.
Lance Pride doing his thing from the
control room.
Yeah, from the big control room in the sky there, where the heck he is. It's 824 FM Talk 106.5 text line. And if you would like to call us, we would love to talk to you this morning. We talked to Mike. Was it Mike? Mid-grade Mike?
Yeah, mid-grade Mike. That's right. We were talking about gas prices.
Threw it out there. We were talking about gas prices, where they are. And it's such, you know, it's a depressing subject for sure.
Depress your wallet, that's for sure.
Yeah, so we just kind of spun it around. I said, by the way, out there, hit us on the text line or give us a call. Who are the people out there that say, mid-grades, my jam?
Goldilocks.
Yeah, so it's like, you don't want to pay for the premium. I get that. I've always been pretty. I'm just regular.
Yeah,
I mean, just
look at me.
We
call you unleaded Dan, is what we call you.
In my life, I'm a regular guy, and so I'm regular. And then you got that mid-grade option there.
Yeah.
And who takes advantage of it? And we heard from mid-grade Mike.
That's right. So Mike, he explained it well. He said he used to have hot rods, right? So he'd only put the good stuff in there.
Premium, right.
Premium. And in his vehicle now, the reason he said he gets mid-grade, which if you look at the Mobile area right now, yesterday the average for a gallon of unleaded, $4.35.
Gosh.
Gallon of mid-grade, $4.67.
Hmm.
Gallon of premium, $5.03, and I won't even get started on the diesel prices, but he said he goes mid-grade. He thinks he gets a mile or a mile and a half more per gallon with mid-grade from good gas stations, he said.
Yeah.
Not from, I think he goes to the good gas stations, but...
I didn't get that, so help me understand what's a good gas station.
Well, you know, probably the mostly brand names you see. Mm-hmm. I've always, coming from a very small town where some gas stations are used very rarely, a place that has a lot of people getting gas, they're cycling through it more often. I could be completely off base on this, and a lot of you world travelers probably know better, but... If they've got a lot of people coming in for the gas, they're having to cycle through it often. If you go a place that doesn't sell a lot of gas, and I imagine mid-grade, then you're more likely to probably get a little bit of water in that fuel, which could cause you some issues down the road.
There's some places that don't sell as much gas just because of the location of the gas station, too. It's like
location,
off the beaten path a little bit.
Prices could be a sticking point there.
Okay.
But and then when you're talking about mid-grade, I imagine it's the least bought of the fuel options.
I would think so, too.
And so good argument there from Mike for why he goes mid-grade. And he's done the math. I wonder if you break down the math, if that cost difference, if you actually come out on top with the MPG difference there by going mid-grade. But very interesting there. What's not interesting is how much these prices have risen. 17 cents over the last week in Mobile. Over the last month, prices have climbed 43 cents per gallon. And just think back a year ago, what were you doing back in May of 2021? Price for gas, gallon of gas, $2.87 then.
We had
$1.48.
We had no idea how good we had it. And also, this is interesting to me, Dalton, is that talking about the places where the gas stations don't get as much traffic. In Baldwin County, I've noticed this recently just traveling around over there. There's so much development there. Gas stations that used to be like out in the woods somewhere
are now in prime position.
They're in prime position because of all the development.
Yeah, and I saw a raceway maybe bought a plot of land there where the Baldwin Beach Express meets the Foley Beach Express, that T in the road.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of farmland right there, so maybe a gas station popping up there here in the next few years. But, you know, also for the federal government, for anyone to act like this is a big surprise, it's kind of like with this inflation thing. Normal people with a brain in their heads, have known that this was coming. I mean, from the moment that Biden took office and ended that the pipeline coming from Canada, and just his overall and his administration's overall, you know, fight against fossil fuels, you knew this was coming. We knew this was coming. Everyone who saw how much money was being printed by the federal government knew that inflation was on the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, to me, it's just as infuriating, maybe a little less infuriating, with how the government helped, you know, kind of cover up the origins of the COVID pandemic and then how they used it to increase their power over the American people. And we just haven't really revisited that since everything cooled off with the pandemic. It's the same thing with inflation, with the price of fuel. We can't let these people off the hook for what they've done to the economy. We just absolutely can't, or it's just going to keep happening. They're just going to keep putting these terrible, terrible policies in place.
We've got these things called elections.
We do. But, you know, that only works if it's a fair and free election. And with the mail-in voting and stuff, I'm really wondering what things are going to look like in November when we hit some of these general elections. And then when we get to the next presidential election, I mean, it will be probably unlike anything you've seen before. As divisive as these last two presidential elections have been,
it's going to be even more.
It will be insane.
It could be even more divisive, which is hard to imagine. But I'm with you, Dio. It's been a crazy couple of years, and I've had my chance to enjoy it here on FM Talk 106.5 on the talk radio with y'all. 251-343-0106. Give us a call. Give us a text. Let us know what you're thinking about. Dan and Dalton on Mobile Mornings.
Hey, 836 on FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings on a Friday. Right now we head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Tommy Davis. Hey, Tommy.
Good morning. It's a beautiful morning here at McConnell Automotive. We have a lot full of any type automobile you're looking for. You're looking for a gas saver. You're looking for a luxury car. If you're looking for a Jeep, an SUV, 21, 22 model Tahoes, 22 model Escalade, anything that nobody else has, we have it at McConnell Automotive.
Yeah, you guys have an incredible selection there. And if folks aren't able to make it out to the lot, I've said this time and time again, the website, the best dealership website I've seen at McConnellAutomotive.com, you can get just about everything done there also.
Exactly. We can handle everything online, have it ready when you get here.
Also, you have a really nice body shop there. If someone's been traveling around or caught an accident, they can bring it by the body shop and have it fixed.
Yes, we can handle anything in the body shop, our service department. We have certified pre-owned cars. Anything you need, we can handle right here.
All right, Tommy, how can people get in touch with you?
They can get in touch with me at 251-476-4141 or at McConnellAutomotive.com.
Thank you, Tommy.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, you too. That's Tommy Davis. You'll find him. You'll find Louie Ratty. You'll find the whole team at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
I'm like you, Dalton. You brought it up earlier. It's kind of like, let's get on with it, right? We've been talking about these elections.
Yeah.
We've been looking at polls. We've been looking at surveys. And it's pretty remarkable when you look at some of these polls, the way they have changed to and fro, like where you think somebody's out of the race and suddenly they're back in the race. We'll get to that in just a moment. But Tuesday, it really is important for people to just go ahead and make sure they are registered, make sure they know where they need to go, maybe look at a sample ballot ahead of time. So they're ready to vote.
Yeah, and we should have, I think we have the sample ballots linked up on our social media if you want to check it out. If not, we'll get it going here in just a bit. But you're exactly right. With even though I just moved basically down the road last summer, my polling place changed.
Sure.
So I was one of the
one
of the many, that had to let them know that I had moved and that I needed to register for this new polling place. We're unfortunately, I believe, a bit past that chance if you haven't told them where you've moved.
You know, I moved last year, and then when I got to the polling place where I normally would go, it was a mess because they were looking at me. We had to jump over to 9 fences for me to vote. What I realized then was I was at the actually where I live now was at the wrong polling place.
And, you know, I've been frustrated with that in the past. But then you look at what goes on in some of these other states where seemingly you can just walk in, not even flash an ID, just show up, vote, and throw that vote in there. I'm glad that even though sometimes it is, you know, polling worker error that causes you to wait a little bit longer there to vote, it is good to have those, you know, those checkpoints to make sure that it's fair. But also, if you're kind of, you know, if you're thinking about Tuesday and you're like, I don't know, the last time I went to vote, it was just insane. It took a really long time. Remember that the last time that most people went and voted was for the 2020 election, for the general election. And, I mean, it had by far the highest turnout in the history of presidential elections.
More votes in the presidential election than ever before.
And so if we are looking at, optimistically, what John Merrill said, 28% to 30% turnout, which, you know, it's his job to be rosy, right? To be optimistic about how many people are going to turn out to vote. Dan, you had some numbers the other day. I think one of the last midterms, it was more of a 20% turnout, somewhere around there.
2014, it was really low. It was like 21%. Now, earlier, these midterm primaries, in the early 2000s, they were like 35% pretty much on average. And down, it got to the low in this last 20 years was 20% in 2014.
So just keep that in mind. If you're worried about it being way backed up on Tuesday when you go in to vote,
probably not.
It will be lighter than it was for sure during the presidential election. And speaking of those polls, they're coming out about every day. And I did liken it to, when you have the Super Bowl, it's 2 weeks of waiting. When you have the national championship, you got a long wait in between. And you kind of get tired of seeing the analysts say what they think is going to happen. You're just ready for it to roll. But these two polls that are out from Alabama Daily News yesterday, pretty interesting. We'll go through the gubernatorial one quickly. Kay Ivey dancing right there at the runoff line, 47.5% polling for Ivey in this latest poll. That was, I think they did this one, let's see, it was in this month, 634 likely Republican voters, May 15th and 16th were polled. So 47.5% Ivey, 15.9% Tim James, 13.4% Lindy Blanchard, Lou Burdett 7.6%, the rest going to Dean Odle and someone else it says on there, and then 11.3% undecided. So really the thing here is, will Kay Ivey get enough votes to avoid a runoff is number one. If she does not avoid a runoff, who will come out on top between Tim James and Lindy Blanchard? Lou Burdett would have to pull off quite the upset to get involved now at this point, according to the polling we've seen. So those are the two questions at hand for the gubernatorial. Then you look at the Alabama Daily News Senate poll, and the closest grouping I have seen of these three candidates yet comes from this same Alabama Daily News poll. 30.8% for Katie Britt, who's the leader. 28.5% for Congressman Mo Brooks.
How about that?
So he's worked himself into a 2.3% off the lead from Britt. And then Mike Durant, not far behind, 24.3%. The margin of error is there for all three candidates. And then when you bring in the undecided, which is at 10%, We could be looking at a Mike Durant, Mo Brooks runoff if things get really crazy. Could be looking at a Katie Britt, Mo Brooks runoff, or we could be looking at a Katie Britt, Mike Durant runoff. Really, anything at this point seems to be possible for the Senate race.
Here's what I think is impossible. That I would really be surprised if Katie Britt
Misses.
You know, if she ends up third in that, I'd be very surprised. Are you familiar with the DBHHP index?
I'm not.
Dan Brennan Happy Hour.
Paul, when,
I'm just kind of shooting
the most
breeze.
Accurate.
Well, I don't know that it is.
Oh, okay.
But it's just shooting the breeze with folks and getting their opinion on things. I don't just out and about, not really hearing a lot of negative about Katie Britt. People, I think they know what she is. They understand what she is. She's certainly taken advantage of some PACs to run some negative ads against her opponents, for sure.
Correct, yeah.
But in just the way people feel about her, some people are very, like, very pro or no with Mo Brooks. Durant is kind of like, they just don't know who he is. But Katie Britt, people have an awareness of who she is, and you got to give her a lot of credit. She was in Shelby's. She was the chief of staff when she left and became the head of the Business Council of Alabama. But did we really know her?
Right.
And I'll say no.
No.
So it was beginning last May. She's done a really good job of becoming. Now she's had some help with money. I get it.
Yeah.
But she's done a good job of making sure people knew what she wanted you to know about her.
Well, this has kind of been in the works for a long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
It seems that the Shelby camp has been setting this up. She has the right people around her.
Yep.
They've been very meticulous about what they do every single stage of the way.
Excellent point.
It almost seems like and I know he has some people I know even working on his campaign. It almost seems like Mo Brooks, it's always Mo Brooks against the world.
Yep.
Whether it's in his congressional seat, whether it's this campaign, it seems like he has been fighting the machine the entire way.
I would agree with that. Look at this. Trump fought the machine, right? He's going to drain the swamp. Trump's for Mo Brooks. Then Trump's not for Mo Brooks.
Right.
And Mo Brooks still, look at the latest poll. He keeps bobbing back up to the top. He ain't drowned yet.
Yeah, and the Dalton happy hour polling,
yes,
which happens right around 3 p.m. because I gotta help the kids, right?
Who does Lizzie?
Izzy?
Who does Izzy like?
I got to tell you, she doesn't like any of the candidates. the people.
She's kind of ornery, isn't she?
A lot of the people I've been talking to for a long time were pretty set in their vote.
Okay.
And for a majority, and like I said, this is just people I'm around. I do know some people that want to vote Durant, but not very many. Most of the people I know are either Britt all the way or Brooks all the way. I have noticed this last couple weeks, maybe it's this last push from Brooks, some of the interviews he's done here on FM Talk 106.5, a lot of those definites for Katie Britt that I was seeing are kind of now saying, well, I don't know. Now it's a toss-up for me between Britt and Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, if I had to put odds on it, I think what will happen Tuesday is we'll get a Britt-Brooks runoff.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, you might as well reset at the start line, because I think we're looking at an entirely different race once we start from square zero. But remember all that money. They're holding a lot of that money back. I'm sure all three campaigns are holding some money back, but that month-long runoff, or less than a month-long runoff, literal runoff, is going to be very interesting, a really interesting race.
You know, what's interesting about Brooks, for me, listening to when he comes on our show, or when he comes on any of the shows, or when you see him on the national news even, it's the same message. He's very consistent. His message that he drives home is basically always the same. So voters, one thing about Brooks, voters are not confused as to who he is.
No, and I think Trump, to be honest with you, my opinion is that the former president got a little nervous when he was seeing a lot of those polls that showed Brooks dropping.
Mm-hmm.
I bet he kind of regrets withdrawing that nomination. And he may regret it more once we see the primary results coming up.
Trump isn't one to say I regret anything.
No.
It's 8:47 FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, and coming back, Brooks Conkle, let us know what's going on. And what did John Daly consume in one round of the PGA Championship? We'll tell you coming up.
John Daly staying fit as a fiddle. How does he do it? We'll talk about that here before the end of the hour here.
Yeah, first we'll go to the phone lines real quick and talk with David in Mobile. Hey, David.
Hey, guys. Real quickly, I wanted to talk about the gubernatorial race real quickly and why I think the governor's going to win outright without a runoff.
Okay.
And here's why. First of all, you're going to have about 2 to 3% of the voters that say they're likely voters not show up to the polls on Tuesday because, you know, life happens, they get busy, they just forget, whatever. They don't make up their mind. They say, if I can't decide who I'm going to vote for, I'm just not going to vote. So, and then the remaining of the undecided voters, I had a pollster tell me this once, that the remaining undecided voters usually breaks down among the percentages that they that's already in the polls. So if you've got 15% undecided, Governor Ivey is most likely going to get about 47% of that. With about a 25% turnout, all of those votes are amplified because you got to remember the law says it's 50% plus one vote of people that show up on election day.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you, Dave. Thanks for the call. So, yeah, if you look at the undecided and you split them the way that the polls are going, she's in.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see on Tuesday, that's for sure. And we'll see Tuesday night when we're in here for the polling, I guess, extravaganza, the primaries extravaganza, 8 to 10 p.m. Tuesday night. Sean Sullivan, Jeff Poore, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwick, Dale Jackson all weighing in as the results roll in. And quickly, before we get to Brooks Conkle on the Jeff Poore Show today, he'll have gubernatorial candidate Tim James on at 9:30. Also, April Marie Fogle joining in the 10 o'clock hour. Lou Burdett in the 11 o'clock hour, also a gubernatorial candidate. And then Chris Elliott, the state senator, at 11:30. Sean Sullivan set to have Mo Brooks on at 1 o'clock today.
The Mobile Rundown, a great place on the web to find out what's going on anytime. Brooks Conkle on the line. He's the founder of the Mobile Rundown. What is going on, Brooks? Good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Dan, I heard you did a good job last week. I heard you filled in for me, and you did awesome.
Well, I've done this broadcasting thing for a while, so you know, I was able to tap dance around those events, yes. So what do we have?
Yeah, I heard you did a good job, man.
Thanks, buddy.
We got stuff. Yeah, plenty of stuff happening this weekend for sure. A big event, the Grandman Triathlon, is over in Fairhope. So whether you want to be in it or just watch it, you can do that. That's tomorrow. And obviously Hangout Music Fest, but if you're just hearing about that now, it's probably a little too late. You probably already have plans.
I'd agree, yes.
You know, one time I was able to get tickets from someone selling them at the gate. I don't know if it was legal, but hey, you might have a chance.
Hey, get tickets however you can get tickets.
That's
right.
That's exactly right. That'll be a huge weekend down in Gulf Shores for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that'll be crazy for sure. There's also right here in town, there's also Creek Fest, which is pretty cool. They've done that a number of years. It's right at Tricentennial Park, right on 3 Mile Creek, and that's kind of a cool event. That's tomorrow as well.
Okay,
tomorrow morning.
And Brooks, have you made it down to Market in the Park? I know they do that every Saturday in May. Dan was talking about it. That's something I've been trying to get to, is Market
Love
in
it.
The Park.
Yeah, really cool thing. I have not been this year yet, but I mean, in the past I've gone a ton. And they actually have it in two different spots now, which is neat. I think they started this last year. So on Saturdays it's at Cathedral Square, but on Thursdays it's in Trinity Gardens. Mm. So we actually do it twice a week.
Okay.
From May through July. So it's, you know, it's ongoing. Pretty cool.
We appreciate you, Ben. If somebody wants to get something on the rundown, what should they do, Brooks?
Yeah, just hop over to the website, so themobilerundown.com, and you can find where you can submit your event, and then we'll take it from there.
We appreciate you every week, Brooks. Thanks a bunch, man.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right, there he is, Brooks Conkle, the Mobile Rundown. TheMobileRundown.com is where you can find what's going on this weekend, and it is a very important place to get information if you're looking for stuff to do.
PGA Tour the PGA tournament started yesterday.
Yeah.
Dalton I had to contain his enthusiasm as John Daly got out of the gate with some good scores, looking like he was going to dominate the entire weekend. That's not the case.
I mean, my man John Daly was in the lead for a good part of yesterday morning.
Four holes or something.
He was tied with like 8 other guys at 1 under. He made it to 2 under.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the round, everything fell apart for John, but he's still on the correct side of the cut line.
Okay.
Right now, let's see, John Daly, 2 over, finished with 3 bogeys at the end of the round, and he's not set to start until 12:30 this afternoon.
Right.
But I found this information, Will Brinson on Twitter.
It's just fabulous information.
He followed John Daly around. He said, this was the final tally of everything John Daly put into his body over a full 18 holes. All right, are you ready?
This is true, y'all. This is not like a joke. It sounds like a late night host monologue joke.
Yeah.
But this is what he put in his body.
So many people used to talk about what all the writer Hunter S. Thompson, the gonzo journalist, would consume in a day.
Yeah.
It was just like a crazy amount of drugs and alcohol. So they're going to try the John Daly challenge next, I'm sure. Over 18 holes, John Daly consumed 21 cigarettes, 12 Diet Cokes, so a full pack.
And a full 12-pack. That's when you buy the box.
Yeah, and I wonder if he got rid of some of his clubs just so he could put the cooler in the bag.
I'm not going to need this 3-iron.
And 6 packs of peanut M&Ms, all consumed by John Daly. Also, 0.0 ounces of water, according to Will Brinson. And again, it was a hot day in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah, he 18 holes. The guy is past middle age, pretty much, right? He was late 50s, maybe?
Yeah.
And he plays 18 holes. He doesn't have a sip of water the whole time.
And played a better round than 99.5% of Americans
would. That's a fair point, too.
Yeah, just crazy what he's able to do at this age.
So John,
21 cigarettes, 12 Diet Cokes, 6 packs of peanut M&Ms.
21 cigarettes. So if you watch John Daly during the PGA, you had to see him smoking cigarettes. He had 21 and 18 holes.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
who's smoking on the tour?
Well, I guess the Brazilian's gone, who was smoking cigars.
Yeah, I remember that guy. Yeah.
But I know Justin Thomas is not. He just got into the running for the lead. I know here we're rooting for our guy Stuart Sink, also four shots off the lead.
Okay, 8:59. Jeff Boyer is on the way on FM Talk 106.5 with Dan and Dalton. Back with you Monday morning at 6 a.m.